أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة للعالمين. فإيفري نايت إن شاء الله throughout رمضان، السلام عليكم. بإذن الله تعالى we will will be covering some aspects from the Quran, some beautiful things we can learn. And before we start, I just saw Dr. Hadi Saleh, my dentist. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa and give him barakah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So basically tonight we'll talk about something amazing about Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf. So basically other stories in the Quran, how many Yusufs we have here? Raise your hand. So we have one Yusuf, two, three, four, five, half of the Jama'at Yusuf. Alhamdulillah. So basically in the story of Musa Fir'aun, Fir'aun was a tyrant, destroyed, end of story. Okay. Aad, Thamud, tyrant people destroyed at the end, okay, what is the khalas, finished. But in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there is something amazing. It is very unpredictable. Like at the beginning, first page, Yusuf alayhi salam saw the dream, something amazing, Ash-Shams wal-Qamar making sajda to him, ah, this is amazing. Nothing can go wrong. Next page, his brothers made a conspiracy against him, he's in the well, he's about to die. Man, this is terrible. Like there is no relief for him. Next page, he is in the house of Al-Aziz in Egypt. He became a very important person in the palace. Oh man, this is amazing. Nothing can go wrong. Next page, the wife of Al-Aziz was busting all the moves and the women were trying to seduce him and he ended up in jail. Man, this is terrible. This is so sad. I mean, there is no, we don't see light at the end of the tunnel because he's staying in jail for several years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. Next page, he is in the palace, he became Al-Aziz, and he's working for the king, and everything is amazing, mashallah. So you see, subhanAllah, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. Something good turns into something terrible. Something terrible turns into something good, then something good turns into something bad turns into something good. And we can all relate to this. So what does this have to do with Ramadan? What is this imam? Why is he talking about Yusuf the first night of Ramadan? I think we should all sign a petition to fire him. Yeah, but if you think about it, this is very relevant to Ramadan. Now, when you look at the Quran, the ayat I recited in the first two rak'ahs of Salatul Isha, and also Imam Bilal mentioned the ayah, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ibadah in the Quran, He talks about Jannah and the reward you will get. You will get this reward at the end, Jannat and the rivers and this and that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't talk about waking up like 4 in the morning in the cold to pray Fajr or fasting 18, 19 hours. I have a miskeen friend in Iceland. He's fasting 21 hours a day. So he's only left with 2 hours and a half for Maghrib, Futur, Isha, Taraweeh, Witr, Suhoor, Fajr, 2 hours and a half. That's it. Because the question always, okay, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show Yusuf alayhi salam the dream of, you know, being an important man and, you know, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars making sajda to him, but he didn't have a dream about being in the well, being in jail, people are trying to kill him, and so on and so forth. He only saw the good thing at the end. He didn't see the challenges on the way. Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the same thing to us in the Quran when He talks about ibadah, about siyam, about salah, about hajj, about zakah. He only talks about the end, what you will get at the end of the tunnel. You will get the reward, you will drink from the kawthar of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will get his shafa'ah. You will be able to see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophets and the Sahaba kiram, and this is something amazing. And to get that, anything becomes so easy for you. All the disturbance and all the annoyance that you face, like, you know, thirsty, what is the big deal? Al-Kawthar is there. And, you know, 17 hours of fasting, well, I'm going to be in Jannah forever. This is, you know, so when you look at the end result, things become easy. Like some of you, you can relate to this. When you come here, you apply for Canadian citizenship to become a citizen, and because you are a practicing doctor back home, you know, when you get the news that inshallah you're coming to Canada, you're excited, you're dancing in the street. You come here, they tell you, oh, sorry, you have to get the equivalency, and for now you have to mop the floor, you have to work as an Uber driver, you have to wash the dishes. And you look at the end, when I get my equivalency, I'm gonna be a doctor, practice medicine in Canada, I'm gonna make this much. All these small annoyances on the way, they become so easy, so trivial, nothing. When you are thinking about marrying a sister, you love her so much, and mashallah, you would like to marry the sister, you go to the dad, and he makes your life difficult, he makes you miserable. You know, you have to buy a house, $2 million in Mississauga with a pool. Okay, Soranyuk, because you want to marry the sister, and you always picture yourself with the sister at the end, so all the annoyances on the way become easy. You have to buy the house, Soranyuk, no problem, I'm gonna do it. 5 kilograms of gold. I know in the Kurdish culture, they buy a lot of gold. You know, one time a couple of came, they wanted to marry Kurdish background, 1.5 kilograms of gold. They brought them to the masjid and I said, can you please put your address here because I wanna rob your house and take the gold so I don't have to work as an imam anymore. You know, yeah, so no problem. You are like, masalan, you have to take her for vacation in Kenya. You go to Tanzania, no problem. Ahmil agini falaha, no problem, I'm gonna do it. So once you think about marrying the sister, all the small things here and there, they become easy for you. And this is why Yusuf alayhi salam only saw the end result, which is amazing, which made all the difficulties that he faced on the way easy for him. Same for you. When you think about fasting, thirst, hunger, in the month of Ramadan, you think of Jannah, the rivers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there to welcome you, the Sahaba Karam, all these small issues like the thirst, the 17 hours become so trivial. Khalas, I want to be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to be in Jannatul Firdaus, things become easy. So whenever you get tired in the month of Ramadan, thirsty, hungry, always remember this and remember the story of Yusuf, and Allah will make it easy for you, and Allah will gather us together in Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Every night I will ask a question. If you know the answer, we'll give you a prize next day. I don't promise a vacation to Hawaii. I don't promise $10,000, something small to show our gratitude. The question for tonight, you were in the house by yourself during the day of Ramadan and you felt hungry. No one is here. You know, shaitan is there. Shaitan, as you say in Urdu, shaitan bahut akalmand hai. Shaitan is very smart. No one is here. I can eat, khalas, and I'll continue. You turn the house upside down, no biryani, no shawarma, no guzlama, there's no food in the house. So at the answer, you gave up, okay, no food, khalas, I'll continue my fast. Is your fast valid or you broke your fast, you have to make up the day after Ramadan? If you know the answer, email me before tomorrow, Asr, tomorrow at Imam Mustafa at AnatoliaCenter.ca. Jazakallah.